Luther does all the talking on the Wittenberg side. Philip Melanchthon hardly speaks at all. Luther's the one who's really insisting on this. He gets it off to a bad start, it turns out, by taking a piece of chalk and writing on the table, "This is my body." Then he covers it with a cloth. And any time there's any doubt about what the issue is, he can raise the cloth and look at it. Ah, they haven't taken this text away from me. And the argument goes back and forth in some of the ways that I've mentioned about John 6:63, does the flesh avail nothing, etc., etc. And whenever they're pressing him, but Luther, you know, when the apostles originally were there at the Lord's Supper, did they really think that when Christ was there right in front of them and giving them bread and said, "This is my body," that he was giving them his body? But his body was right in front of them. What's going on here? Luther would say, "But you haven't yet taken this text away from me. Show me why 'this is my body' does not mean 'this is my body.'" And he would stick on that text. That's Luther's attitude towards scriptural text in many cases. He wants them to be certain. He's going to hang on to them for dear life. And you've got to prove that his interpretation is wrong, or else he's going to keep on hanging on to it. And so that's that. Writing the scriptural text on the table and keeping it by him is a very Lutheran thing to do. So the Marburg colloquy didn't work out. They managed to agree about a lot of stuff, but not on the presence of Christ's body, especially the presence of Christ's body for those who don't believe, which Luther affirms and Zwingli denies. There was a later attempt to agree called the Wittenberg Concord in 1536. One of the reformers from Strasbourg, a man named Martin Bucer, works out a compromise formula with the Wittenbergers. But in fact, Bucer he's kind of shifty, and they end up with a formula that's ambiguous. And that's what Luther was dreading all along. So there's this kind of ambiguous formula which doesn't really take a clear stand on the issue of the eating of the unworthy, and the agreement falls apart after a few years. Luther doesn't want ambiguous compromises. He wants to make it clear. Christ's body is there, whether you believe it or not. If you're not clear on that, he doesn't want to agree with you. But Bucer managed to work out this agreement, at least a brief verbal formula that worked for a while, but not for long. Then Calvin, a generation later, works on a compromise proposal that comes even closer to Luther's, but still doesn't cross that crucial barrier about the Manducatio Indignorum. Let me say a little bit about Calvin, who's the second-generation reformer. Calvin has a real sacramental piety, right? He's a little closer to Catholicism that way than Zwingli is. He's willing to say that sacraments are means of grace, right? He's very intent on how faith receives the thing signified by the sacrament. He's more clear on that than Zwingli is. And he agrees with Luther that when the New Testament says the flesh avails for nothing, it's not talking about the flesh of Christ. The flesh of Christ is life-giving flesh, says Calvin, just like Luther. And Calvin will go so far as to say that believers really do partake of Christ's body and blood in the supper, though they do so in a spiritual rather than a bodily way. Christ's body is present spiritually, not physically. And what, in fact, Christ's body is physically present in heaven at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He's ascended to heaven, says the Creed. So that's where Christ's body physically is. It's not in the body, rather, it's not in the bread. So we don't literally eat his flesh, but we do somehow partake of the flesh of God, the flesh of Christ, there up in heaven at the right hand of God Almighty. That's what happens in the Lord's Supper, Calvin thinks, for those who believe. Their faith, through the power of the Holy Spirit, lifts them up to heaven, as it were, to participate in Christ's flesh. His flesh remains there in heaven. We, in our souls and spirits, are carried there by faith and the work of the Holy Spirit. This comes about as close as the Reformed can ever come to the Lutheran view. But as you see, it doesn't meet this characteristic Lutheran requirement of the Manducatio Indignorum. If you come to eat the sacrament without faith, your spirit is not lifted up where Christ is. You do not participate in Christ's body and blood. And all you get is bread and wine. So that, by the way, Calvin's view is more the standard Reformed view nowadays. The Reformed nowadays really do want to have a sacramental piety, a notion that external things do help you in the faith. And Calvin certainly has a deeper sense of that than Zwingli does. But The conceptual difference, I think, is something that can't be overcome. And Calvin was clear about this. Unlike Bucer, Calvin was very clear. We Calvinists do not believe that unbelievers participate in the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament.